Hello, happy site owners. This is Mayanna with Blog8 with the Successful Site podcast series. I'm so glad you joined me, and I've got a special guest, Tammy Adams, who's a lifestyle blogger, and she's joining us today to tell us about her recent site audit and what it meant to her site, the type of site that she runs, and I know that you're going to get a lot of great information out of this. So welcome to the podcast, Tammy.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, tell everybody a lot more about the type of sites you run, because I know there are a lot of folks who do this sort of thing, and they're going to want to, you know, lock into, hey, that's me, you know, because it's going to be just like them.
Well, my site is called My Life Abundant, which pretty well describes my life. I'm very thankful for everything in my life, and I do a lot. I'm in my 50s, so I have a lot of extra time. My blog is really all I do, and so I love to photograph. I love to garden, cook, travel a little bit, so I like to write about that on my blog.
You do have so much fun stuff. I mean, it's really a lot of joy that you share on your blog, too, because it's stuff you really enjoy doing, isn't it?
Yes. I love enjoying a lot of things.
You know, one of the things that I find interesting about the niche that you're in, too, is that it's very community-type oriented. You know, it's very much about engagement with people, not just broadcasting what you do, but actually engaging in sort of a community. You kind of have a tribe for that, right?
Yes. I've been online since the late 90s, and I have to say I probably have more online e-friends, if that's what you want to call them, than I do real-world friends that I've never met, and we converse a lot, especially a lot of women. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of fun meeting new bloggers, and through my blog, that's how we do it. We have a lot of Facebook group pages. We do have tribes, and it makes it really fun to read everybody else's blogs, learn from each other.
Wow, that's really cool, too. And when things change online, like Pinterest coming along, that must have changed everything, because you've been at this long enough to have some perspective on that, too.
Pinterest is where I get, I would say, 80% of my views. So I really work to make sure my pictures and work for Pinterest, and I use Viral Tag to help me share all of that, because you can schedule all your posts, and that's very important to me. I don't want to be sitting around on a computer all day long when I can schedule everything out, and Viral Tag helps me with that.
That's way cool. So it just makes sure that your stuff gets out there without impeding your lifestyle, because being a lifestyle blogger, that's part of it, isn't it?
Correct. Well, and I'm not a late blogger like a lot of these women stay up pretty late at night after their children are in bed. Well, mm-hmm. I don't have any children at home anymore, so I do everything during the day.
Right.
And nighttime is family time for my husband and I, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes good sense. So it is truly a lifestyle blog, and that's a great way to do it. Now, let's talk about images, because when you have something like, and I say Pinterest, I guess it is Pinterest, isn't it? I guess I've been mispronouncing that the whole time. Thanks for that. So with Pinterest, all of your images and whatever had to get probably bigger than what you were used to, right?
Not really. For myself, I've had larger pictures on my website anyway, at least 600 pixels wide. So you just have to follow the guidelines, which it's tall and skinny for Pinterest. Mm-hmm. And I always make my main featured interest that size. So unless I make a collage, and then you can make it very tall and skinny. So that's what works for my blog.
Mm-hmm. And I see a lot of people doing like the 600 by 900. So it's almost a skyscraper type look.
Yes.
For a lot of their images, because that's just what flows better in the format.
Yes.
On Pinterest, right? With having stuff that big, though, optimization becomes a real issue, doesn't it?
That's a definite key, yes, and I make sure that my optimization is as good as it gets for me. And I was having a problem with that. I've learned what to do now with Lightroom, and that's what I have been going with ever since, and doesn't seem to be that big of a problem now. So I just don't want a huge file going in. I just make it as small as possible without distorting it.
Mm-hmm. And we're talking about Adobe Lightroom, and there's version 5 and up. I think we're at 6 or 7 at this point. And it does cost. I mean, we want to tell folks that this is an investment that you've made, too, because it's not free software, but it's worth it to you because you get that money back because you've monetized your site, right?
Exactly. That's what I use my money for when I'm on sponsored posts or ads, is to put it back right back into the blog. And Lightroom was part of that. I'm very pleased with it. It took me a little while to get used to it because I'm not used to Adobe products. But what I was using before helped, but Lightroom is so much easier to work with pictures. Plus, I had gotten a DSLR camera, and I really wanted something to help with that.
Yeah, and that's what it's made for, really, isn't it?
Yes, and raw pictures.
Mm-hmm. And it's so much better than something like Photoshop, which is far more expensive, but also far more complex to figure out how to use, too, isn't it?
Yes, that's a layering software, and I have a PaintShop Pro that I use for my layering. So I go into Lightroom, adjust the picture, and then I go into PaintShop Pro, and if I need to put a title on it with fonts or whatever, or if I make a collage, that's where I go to do that.
Mm-hmm. And PaintShop Pro is not very expensive either.
No, so, it's not.
I think GIMP, G-I-M-P, I believe that's a free software that does layering too. It's kind of almost like Photoshop Lite.
So, I think so, yes.
I don't know what the final, because that's your final image though. And so
correct,
the rendering on that has to be really good. So you get the quality as good as you can with Lightroom, and maybe even take out things like it needs to be a JPEG, of course, because of the depth of color, but take out things like all that metadata about when the thing was taken, what kind of camera you're using. That pulls down the file size, right?
Correct, correct.
And then take down the quality as far as you can go, and it still look good, too, right?
Yes, and I also use PicMonkey.
Uh-huh.
But I really use a website, and it's free. It's called and I'm not really sure how to pronounce it. It's I-P-I-C-C-Y, iPicky, I don't know. But that's where you can make collages, you can layer, you can edit, you can do a lot of things. And you can also pick out exactly how you want it to save. You know, if you want it high quality, low quality, so you can make it exactly how you want it for your blog. And it's a free product.
Yeah, you know, something to think about that, too, is every time you take it through a different type of software, you're getting a different type of compression on it as well.
Correct. And you can – I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say you can fix your compression in iPicky also. I'm not for sure about PicMonkey. I don't use it as much. But that's my go-to website if I want to make a collage.
Mm-hmm. So all of these settings make a difference because it's not just the first one. You can only optimize it so much there because the next one's going to optimize it again, maybe. And you have to check your settings all the way through the process, right, to end
correct
up with the final product. And folks, we're going to have links for all of these things that we're talking about in the show notes for this, too. So be sure to see the blog post on this. So you've been at this a really long time. You've tried this, tried that. Things have changed. Different things like Pinterest have come along, and you've had to rearrange how you do some things. Theme styles have changed. Plugins have changed. After a while, your site kind of gets into a mess, doesn't it?
It sure did. After 7-plus years of using basically the same blog but changing domain names, it became a mess.
Mm-hmm. So you came to me for an audit, and we want to talk about the site stuff because that's what most of my folks are interested in, is what's going on with the site. You know, what can we do to make our site better for things, especially when you have so many of these big images and things and ads and things that can make it run slow. That's really critical now to get the speed back up, do whatever you can, and clean it out for security too.
Yes, I agree. That was my main problem, was my website was not loading. When it did load, it was very, very slow. I was having readers come back and tell me, we can't even open up your site. Well, if a reader can't open up your site, you've lost a reader. And that's what you want, is, you know, to keep your readers there and interested. So I knew I had to do something.
this is not just about new folks coming to you, but even your loyal tribe, they're not going to wait forever either. You'll start losing them as well, right?
Correct, and that's what was happening. I saw my stats start going way, way down in January. So I just had to call somebody, and you were recommended, and that's where I came.
Oh, well, thank you so much, and I'm glad you did, because it was just a lot of it was a matter of cleaning out the closet from all the different trial things, too, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Well, sometimes you just need some hand-holding to do that, because it's scary. You know, it's techie stuff and whatever. So let's talk about, if you're okay with that, you know, you disclose whatever you want to disclose about this, about some of the things that we found during the audit that maybe were surprising to you as well.
Okay. One thing, the main thing that you found was I had a lack of security, which I already knew because we had a DDoS problem at my server, so I knew there was a problem there, and you also found a few other security problems which that needed to be fixed first or as soon as possible. I also had a couple other older blogs that were on the same server, and you didn't think that was a very good idea. I knew I wanted to get rid of them in the first place, so they're gone now. Needed a better backup system. I was backing up on the same server that my website was. Well, what happens if your server goes down? Your backup is down. So you convinced me or let me know the importance of having my backup off-site. So now I have Backup Buddy, and it is with Amazon, the AS3, I think is what it's called. And no problems there. I'm glad I went in that direction. I have 13 less plugins than what I started with before you came along to check all my plugins, which I'm so glad. And I knew there was a problem with some plugins, but I wanted to hear from you after you checked everything. And I did have one concern about a recipe plugin that I was using called Zip Recipes, because it wasn't working with my WooCommerce part of my site. And after working with the plugin designer and he was working with WooCommerce, it's all fixed. So everything is great. I know it's a resource hog, but it makes it so much easier for my readers to be able to print out the recipe. I've gone to many websites wanting a recipe and there's no way to print it out. Well, how am I supposed to? I can't remember that. So, you know, I have to cut and paste and do that. And, you know, readers don't want to have to do more than one or two clicks to get something done. So that's basically the main thing that you found. Now, I've got some I had some SEO problems with WordPress SEO. Wasn't configured correctly. And I will be taking your video course on WordPress SEO and on how to use SEO better. And that's so important. Google is king, and we have to play by the rules. And I want to be able to have my posts searchable easily. So that is my next thing to do on the list.
Well, let's talk about that. And I want to go back to several things you said because they're so radically important there. Let's start with SEO and work our way back. We had discussed earlier that your community is the big part of what you do, you know, your social engagement and stuff. So the majority of people that are coming to you may be through referral or social engagement. And I hear a lot of folks who have that kind of business say, nah, SEO is just an afterthought if I do it at all. And what you're saying is that why not get the benefit of all of that too?
Correct. And it's in, especially in the posts, if you use the Yoast SEO plugin, it basically steps you right through it, what to put on your post, and it's not really that big of a deal. And when I see that green dot, I know I've done well. And now that, you know, I do it all the time, it's just, you know, you automatically go do it. Just make sure you've got the right keywords, and you're fine. And I have done searches on some of my actual posts, and it shows up better. And even a post here in the past, I'd say 6 months, that are being picked up by other people because my keywords and my SEO is much better on my posts, and I'm going to have to go back and do old posts and check them all up.
Well, let's talk about why you're taking the video course, because you're already doing this. This is already working. But what I find in site audits a lot is that people put this plugin in there and don't configure any of the global settings. They just do what you're talking about, which is that on-page SEO analyzing, which is great for folks who are starting out to learn how to do SEO. That's pretty much what I think of it. And I wouldn't necessarily go for that green dot all the time. You can get to the front page of Google by having authority on a topic too, you know, without that. And I know I can prove it. I've got one that gets red dots and it's on the front page of Google, you know. So you have to be careful with that thing for keyword stuffing. But they don't set any of the global settings. They don't set up the connection, the verified connection with their Google Plus thing for authorship, and no, it's not dead. Google very much wants to know who's writing about what. And then for publishership, which are where all the brownie points are at the time of this recording, which is, you know, April of 2015, who knows when Google's going to move the cheese on things. But having all of those connections going and getting the most out of it, all the little tricks that you can do with all of your pages, with your navigation. So all of that is in that SEO course. So that's why you're taking that too, to get way beyond what you're just doing with it now, right?
Yes, and I know I don't have the actual plugin configured correctly. I have it partially, but it needs to be tweaked. So that is another reason why I'm going to take the course too.
Yeah, and there's 7 videos on just that plugin for all the settings for it, you know, for your site, especially the social stuff for you. That would be really big because it's got a lot in there.
Yes.
For that. And then also, it's a 2-hour course. I'm not trying to plug it here. I'm just saying it's not a little thing. You know, doing your SEO at this level, it takes time and it takes, like you said, working on it, right, to get
yes.
good at it.
Yes.
That's
Practice.
A major thing. So you're also looking at your theme, again, too, for HTML5 compliance, so it outputs all this great schema markup, too, and get ahead of everybody, right?
Correct. I had an older theme. Well, it wasn't really that old. It was just a little over a year old, but I was having a lot of problems with that particular theme. Google hated, literally hated my font that was in there. And I can do a little HTML, but I'm a little dangerous with it, so I don't like to go in. So I thought, you know, I need to be mobile compliant. My website was very hard to read on any mobile website or any mobile device. So I found a theme that looked good on mobile sites. My shop looks good on any of the mobile units, and so I switched over, and that helped a lot too.
And the schema markup coming out of it with HTML5 compliance means that all that beautiful SEO that you're doing, the theme actually supports it. So it has to go all the way through. You can't just throw that plugin in there and get all the benefit of it. The theme has to support all of that markup as well, right?
Correct.
And you got all the benefit from that too. So your SEO literally changed overnight with that. And then what you're already doing, and now you're going to add to it with this course. So I would think you're going to explode.
Well, I've already noticed since we've had the audit, and I've just tweaked a few things, that already the searching is a whole lot better. A couple of my posts have been picked up by very large blogs, and I found one today, and I was just impressed because this one site that picked it up is what a lot of bloggers follow to learn from. So I was really excited about that.
Wow, congratulations. I mean, you know, when you put the effort in and you make the investment to do these things, and then you turn around and see it within weeks, you know, not years, weeks.
Yes.
That's very exciting. That is
yes.
very, very, I'm thrilled for you. I want to get into the mobile, but I want to jump back to a couple of other things that you mentioned, because we're going backwards here about plugins in general, because like this WordPress SEO one, I find that a lot of folks put it in there, but they never configure it. And there are several plugins that are like that, or plugin conflicts with things. And gosh, Tammy, as long as you've been running your site, you just forget that you put things in there sometimes too, right?
Some of them were very, very old that I didn't need anymore.
And so let's talk about the resource hog stuff, that when you make your decision, even though something may be a resource hog, that it has ROI for you. It has return on investment. It's worth it to you because of the ease it brings your visitors, right?
Correct, yes.
So some of that is maybe settings that you could change in a plugin. Not all of them have that, but we looked at that too, right? For settings that you could change.
Yes.
That make it less of a resource hog, but you still get all the benefit from it, right?
Correct, yes.
Let's talk about mobile and ads, because that's the huge news right now. So tell us about ads on your site. If you want to talk about the network that you're with or how you do that, that's fine, or not. You know, if you want to call that out, because I don't want you to give all your secret sauce away. You know, we found a lot of stuff in there that we don't want to give completely away to folks, so that you stay on top of your niche. But so tell us about the changes with that.
Giving out my secrets, which I don't think I really have anything that's top secret, and I'm very open with my readers, because just starting off with a blog, and I know a lot of women, when they start out, they get very, very frustrated. So I started a monthly post that I show my revenue for the month, and I show my stats with all my with Google AdSense, how many viewers I have, all this, and I tell a few of my secrets. This is what I do. This matter of fact, this past month was my site audit. But my ads, I just use Google AdSense, and I use one at the top and on the sidebar. Now, they also ask that you put a long skyscraper type one in your sidebar, but I just don't want that much. And I have a couple other ads from different companies that products that I try. I don't recommend anything on my blog that I don't use. And that's really all I have when it comes to ads.
Mm-hmm. And so that's a lot less, the way that you're doing it, it's a lot less taxing on your site too, so you don't have extreme performance hits.
No.
Because I've seen some of these with ad networks, and they throw every ad they've got on it, and you know, it takes 20 to 30 seconds to load.
Correct, and I'm not really big on putting a lot of ads everywhere, because I think that discourages a lot of people. They're there to read your post, and they don't want to have to run into an ad every few sentences. So I keep that away from my posts and just keep it at the header and then one in the sidebar and let it go at that.
Right, so mobile is the way your new theme reorders itself, being fully responsive. Because of the way you've got things in there, you're okay.
Well, I don't like the way sometimes, well, the way it looks on like a phone. It does show just the post first. And if a reader is coming straight from a link and all they want to do is read the post, then that's fine, because all the ads, everything on my sidebar is below that. And really, they're not there to look at a lot of that stuff. They want to read the post. Now, on an iPad or larger tablet, it shows up fine. So I really don't have a problem with my responsive, except when it comes to my shop.
Mm-hmm.
You see individual items, and you can't see them all at one time on your cell phone. But on the tablet, it's much better. So that's my only downfall with a fully responsive website. It does mess up a shop.
Okay.
But I figured if they wanted to see my items, they can go to a desktop or laptop, and you can see it much better there, I hope.
Well, let's talk about the difference in that, because I'm sure it's very confusing to people. So fully responsive means that it literally reorders itself to the device. And then you can also have extra queries or extra things put into the theme to select the very specific order that things go in. So you can modify that. It'll probably cost you a little more for customization to reorder things, or just leave some things out. So if you've got a super busy sidebar, you actually don't have to put all those things in there, or you can intermingle where they are. You know, so it's maybe something above your blog post or something right below it, instead of it just being a left to right single column sort of thing. So you can pay extra to do that. So there's fully responsive, and then there's modified fully responsive. And then something else you brought up that's radically important, the difference in laptop and cell phone. Mobile means cell phone. When people are talking about mobile devices, it does not include laptops. Google considers those a different entity. So it really is only cell phone. So like you were saying, things come up fine on a laptop or a desktop.
Correct.
So your mobile version really has to only include cell phones, and that's where to check it. You know, how do you check yours? Do you check it on a phone, just a single phone, or get some other buddies to look on different kinds of phones, or use online emulators, or what do you like?
I've used the emulators online, but for some reason, they don't look like what it does on a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
In my case. Now, they might on somebody else's website. So I strictly go by an actual cell phone. If I see there's something wrong, I will have one of my tribe mates or somebody in one of my groups go check. We do that often with each other. You know, if we see a problem, go check my website and see what you see. And so I strictly really go by an actual handheld device to look at.
I found that same thing, that they really don't pick it up. Now, one of the things that I was told by Andy, who runs AdThrive, is Chrome, the Chrome browser, has an extension for developer tools, which a lot of theme designers use anyway. But you can see the mobile emulation better there. I haven't actually tried that myself. I'm going to probably in the next few days to look at it. But that would be something to check out, especially if you have different kinds of phones. You know,
okay.
Because the emulators like Responsonator I found online, they're not picking up the correct things, especially if you run something like AdThrive. It will not pick up their mobile theme.
Okay, that's interesting.
It'll pick up the mobile theme as the fully responsive site itself does. So I agree with you. And checking on different phones, so that's the importance of Tribe, isn't it?
Yes.
Having that kind of support network, and y'all help each other with answering questions and support. Like you said, having your post out there with monthly reports, that's got to be very encouraging and a reality check for folks, too.
Yes, because as long as I've been doing this, I really wasn't into Google AdSense until just a couple of years ago. And also having to change my domain name because my actual server told me they couldn't handle my website anymore because of my e-commerce site. So I had to completely redo everything. So I lost my Google ranking because I had to completely start all over. And that's when reality really stepped in and I learned, you know, it's going to take a long time to get right back where I was before. So,
yeah, because domain age counts. Now, what year was this? I mean, how long ago was this?
It's been a couple years.
Well, okay, let's talk about that because you started what you said back in 2008?
Correct. And I had a different niche at the time. So my domain name had to do with our company at the time. And then when I started doing a completely different niche, I just kept it. Not thinking it would make any difference, I changed my whole theme. I started in GeoCities. That tells you how old my website was.
No, I remember that, yeah.
So, and then it went to Yahoo, and then I went to going with a regular server. So when they contacted me and said, you know, your website is just too big, it was a very, very small server. I never had any problems with them. They were great, and they just couldn't handle it anymore. So I had to switch. And
yeah, but why did you have to lose your domain?
Because when I wanted to completely change, my niche was going so far away from TaggleEnterprises.com, I thought I need to even change my domain name and start all over, new theme, everything. So it's been a whole new experience because the way Google has changed over since 2008. But
well, not only Google, but that's what I want to talk about, is people who I found who started back in, because I started back in, you know, the, gosh, I've been at this 15 years online or so, over 15 years. And people starting out back in 2008, well, prior to 2011, let me put it that way, 2008, 2009, a lot of those folks are the gurus that everybody knows now. And they were some of the first to start taming the Wild West and figuring it out, and then turned around and made a fortune teaching other people how to do what they did. And that lasted for a while. And then everything kind of changed in 2011 when all the social media just went bonkers and platforms were coming out all over the place and Facebook and that sort of thing. And then some people who got in on the start of that made a fortune. But in the last 2 years, starting something from scratch that you just did, it's a whole other ball game, isn't it?
It's all new. It was, even though I knew how to use WordPress and I knew how to use the social media, the knowledge was there, but it's just the waiting for Google to like you again and trying to get your readers to come back, because I virtually lost everything. Even though I had the old website name, domain name, point back to my new one, everything was different.
Mm-hmm.
So I lost a lot of readers and gained a few in the long sense, and probably now, because I did make all the changes to the right way, I have more readers than what I had before. So in the long run, it worked out well, except it's just been, you know, a long process. And I think that's what a lot of bloggers get discouraged. It takes a long time. It's a lot of hard work.
Yeah, it's a long game. And I'm thrilled to hear you say that about, in the long run, you ended up with more readers than you had to begin with.
Yes.
I've done that myself. I've traded sites, traded industries, that kind of thing. I mean, Blogaid's not my first rodeo by any means. And all of the knowledge that I gained, plus how things changed, you know, getting with whatever it is that's new and on the edge and that kind of thing, I've always done better by drawing that line in the sand and letting go of what didn't fit or what doesn't work anymore, or, like you said, almost being forced out of it.
Yeah, it was hard, and I hated it, but it's worked out in the long run, which I'm pleased with. And now even more pleased that the website works even better, so.
Well, and I think it'll help a lot, you know, as the mobile geddon kind of thing keeps rolling on here, and having that mobile friendly tag and the fact that you do pay attention to SEO and not just, hey, I just want to go do the fun stuff with it, but
right.
You're taking care of business all the way around. And security, you know, making sure that you're secure, because we're going to go even further back into our conversation here about backups. And that's really your only security blanket. So how much better do you sleep now, knowing that you've got a backup that's somewhere else off that server?
A whole lot better. A whole lot better.
What has security been like for you with that, like experiencing that DDoS attack?
Website not running at all. I went for 2 weeks there in January that my website was barely on. And the actual host, I can't tell you how many techs I talked to, and I was getting all different answers, or I was getting the same scripted answer. And finally, in the very end, one tech finally told me the truth. He said, "You've been hit with a DDoS on the server." And we did switch to a dedicated IP, which helped a lot. But it was still having problems. So I knew there had to be something wrong, and he sent me a website to go to that you use to check to see what everything was wrong with my website, and I was failing miserably on everything. And so then that's when I started doing some researching, asking our other blogger friends, "Have you had a site audit? Please tell me what to do." And then that's when I came up with you. So
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I was in tears quite a few days in January trying to figure out what to do, because I had gone through my every resource I had from all these years of blogging, and nothing was working.
Mm-hmm. And fortunately, you didn't get hacked.
No, which we did check on that. We did have somebody do an audit on that. So.
Right. So I want to be clear with everybody the difference in a DDoS attack, which is a distributed denial of service, and an actual hack attack. A DDoS is an overwhelm, and it just takes servers down. They can go after a single site or go after a server, which is what was happening in your case, right? The
Correct.
Whole server was under attack. And there's nothing you can do about that when the whole server is under attack. At that point, it's up to the host. And sometimes they have to shut down the server as the only way to protect the sites, just turn it off. and to prevent a hack, because a lot of these DDoS attacks are masks or camouflage for an attack. So that may be the safest thing, is that you were down for a little while. So a few days down is better than losing your site sometimes. But it's not good to be down, especially for 2 to 3 weeks.
No, they even reinstalled my website for me, which completely took everything down, and I had to reinstall all the plugins over. They were trying everything with me, but then on the other hand, there was a lot of the techs that weren't trying anything. So I'm still a little disappointed in how the tech service is with this particular server, so I'm on the lookout for a
Yeah,
new one.
and I have to tell folks about hosting. If it hasn't hit your host yet, just wait. There is nowhere to hide anymore. Every host, I don't care how good they are, how much protection they have, they're going to get hit by something, and hosts that have invested in their infrastructure to mitigate DDoS attacks and other things, they've mitigated that. They're not being hit by that, but they're being hit by other things. Attacks are happening every day. So, no matter where you go, if you have good service, that's all you can hope for these days, is good
Yes.
service. So I've had some folks who are on hosts that are well known for getting hit. They've been on there 10 years and never once had an attack. I don't know what old server that's tucked in a corner somewhere that they're on, but and they may never be. But the bot hits are every day. So you having your own backup off that server, even if your site got toasted, you could restore it the next day.
Yes. And that's wonderful news for any blogger.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I like Backup Buddy so much that I insist that my site management clients have it, because I know who they're going to call if there's a problem. And it's like, I got it. It doesn't matter what it is, even if it's completely toasted. I got you. It's okay.
Yes.
And it's peaceful. Of course, I try to fix it first, but that's a real hard thing to go through. And the money that you lose, and the
Yes.
sleep that you lose, and the worrying that you have, and that kind of thing, it's that's not good. I hope you weren't running a big promotion at the time.
No. January is basically slow for all blogs. When you, I shouldn't say all, but the majority of blogs. Christmas is over, and people aren't really interested in reading about things at the moment. So it wasn't a, it, that's the slowest month for me, and I was just glad when we switched it over, and was, just started basically from scratch again, trying to figure out what to do next. So.
Well, hopefully this time it'll be whatever happens, you've got a backup,
Yes.
and it'll be okay, and not jump through too many hoops before it, and find better hosting where you can get some tech support who knows what they're talking about.
Yes.
That first tier support at a lot of companies, they hire people almost off the street, and they have scripts for them to read. And
Yes.
bless their hearts, they're trying to do a good job, but yeah, they do the best they can with it, but you need real help, right?
Yes,
So
and they were switching me around to what you call real help, but it just wasn't working. We knew how bad it was, so we just let it go.
Well, let's talk about hosting needs with your traffic, because as your traffic grows, your hosting needs to grow along with it. So the days of, and you've already found out, of course, and you probably left this a long time ago, the days of $3 shared hosting being worthwhile with bunches of sites on it is over.
Yes, it
And
is.
you moved up to dedicated IP. Now, there's a lot of different kinds of server packages out there. They're shared, which is the worst of it as far as security and performance goes. And if your own shared hosting that's $3 or $4 a month, I hope all you have is a little site that if it gets completely toasted, you're okay with that, because that's the risk you're running. And you can't even hardly run Backup Buddy. You can hardly have any traffic. The ceiling is so low now for your resources. And then go up to something like a bigger package, but still on shared. And then what's the next move up? Managed VPS. And it costs quite a bit more. There's also managed WordPress hosting, too. And then when you go all the way up to a dedicated server. So there's a lot of different kinds of packages there, and the server environments are completely different as well, aren't they?
Yes.
Did you ever run into a case of, with all the traffic that you're getting and as you're growing, the host just saying you need to move up to another more expensive package to have more resources?
Yes, every time I called.
Okay, so that's kind of what I've heard from them too, and without a site audit and without you knowing where to check, you don't know if all that extra traffic is humans or bad bots.
Correct.
So you would just be paying more money for a bigger place for the rats to run.
Yeah. And they were running pretty well.
Yeah, and they wanted to upsell you every time you called in.
Yes, exactly.
Let that be a lesson to everybody, you know, about how to run this thing. So I'm thrilled that you put this kind of information out on your blog, or at least in the groups too, you know, to help folks with your, tell them your experience, because these stories matter. And that's why I love this interview series, is because your story is going to encourage somebody to have a better site.
And there's so many new bloggers out there that really have no idea. A lot of them come from Blogger, which I actually still have a Blogger website, but if it goes down, you know, it's not really out there for people to read. I just store like my personal stuff on there, so I'm not really worried about that. But when they switch over to WordPress, it is a whole new world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a little scary to some of them, and you know, they'll ask a question, I need to do this, and I have no idea what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
So we all help each other that way and learn from that, and it's great resources. If you can find these particular Facebook groups that is in your niche, go for it and learn from them.
Agreed, except for one thing. A lot of folks in there are not techs, and I have seen some really bad information, tech information about sites, because they're all guessing or how they figured it out, and I've been handed my hat out of some of those groups. I was pinged into some of them. It's like, let's go ask Mayanna. And people go with who they know, and not who knows what they're talking about. And I was literally handed my hat and shown the door out of some
of
those groups. So, because the tech info, if I said anything different from what the person they trusted in there, because they don't know me from Eve, you know.
Correct, yeah.
And if I said something against the person they trusted, yeah, I was not all that welcomed.
Yeah.
So I can say that a lot of my clients have come, well, I learned how to do this in this group, or things like this, WordPress SEO, everybody says, go get that plugin, and nobody in the group ever says anything about how to set it up.
Yeah.
Or they say, go get Backup Buddy. They don't say anything about storing it off-site. So, you know, it's things like that, or get a word fence and have no idea that it puts 19 tables and is an extreme resource hog. You
that
know.
Was a bad one on my website, too.
Right. I don't use those big behemoth security plugins for a reason. And so there's a performance hit and sometimes even a security hit on some of these things. So a lot of people I find in those groups, they're not techs. They're not doing tests. They're not looking at the caveats. So I think they're great for encouragement. I think they're great for those quick answer kind of things. But it would also be a good idea to invite techs and geeky people in there to help out with that and bring in that resource. I think that would be better than anything. Or the, hey, this is the way I'm doing it on my site, so it's going to work on yours in your hosting environment too. So I'm not trying to put down these groups as being supportive and that kind of thing, but I do find a lot of extreme misinformation.
Well, and I agree with you there, and ours is mainly, you know, social, how to use the social plugins better, you know, that kind of thing, or suggestions for what do you suggest for this, and we really don't get into a lot of techie stuff, or if there is, I don't see the posts, or they scan past me and I don't see them, so, but I understand where you're talking about. It might work well on your website, but it might not work well on somebody else's.
So, or even in a different hosting environment.
Correct.
So, you know, that's why just you going through this audit, look how much you learned.
Exactly.
And you can take that to that group and say, whoa, whoa, no, wait a second. And keep that plug-in list cleaned out, you know, all those conflicts and things. So it makes a difference to you.
And things change. it seems like every day things change in the internet world, and you're constantly, just when you think you've got a hold on something, it changes.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to keep up with it all the time.
Mm-hmm. Is that become, with you being a lifestyle blogger, is that becoming a bit of a drain now? I know it is for me and a lot of other people, that the security stuff is just constant, and sometimes that gets to be to the point where you say, you know, I'm ready to outsource this. I'm ready not to DIY this anymore.
I agree with you there. It's constantly having to look up and read and read and read about, especially security. And before I learned from one of your podcasts about using the Login Lockdown plugin, I was constantly having people coming through, you know, trying to get in. Or the spam, even though I thought I had a good spam control plugin, was constantly comments coming in. Even though it wasn't showing on my blog, it was going into the spam category. I thought, there is something wrong for all this stuff to come through my website all the time. So, you know, there's a security problem there.
Right, and some people, you know, turning those logs on is what makes, and those notifications is part of what makes those things such a resource hog, and that's happening to everybody every day on every site. Having the notifications just worries you silly.
Yes.
The main thing is, if you lock the door and you know it's bolted, you don't have to worry how many things knock.
Correct.
It's bolted. It's in a vault. And so it's there. Well, there is no absolutely secure site, no matter what you do to it. No such thing. There's breaks on the Pentagon all the day, every day.
Right.
And so there's nothing that's fully secure. But you secure it, but you secure it as much as you can, and then you don't get those notices to worry the bejeebies out of you. I'm glad some people get them just to make them aware of how bad it is. But there's other ways to do that. Like, we looked in your resources for things like AWS Stats, which is right there in your hosting.
Yes. Well, and it wasn't turned on, but it is now.
Right. And so, you know, you can see what's going on with the hits. And it tells you a lot more than Google Analytics does, too, in a few
yes.
places, doesn't it?
Well, I'm sorry, but Google Analytics can be a little spammy, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm looking into trying to find something that's a little more accurate. So I'm hoping to find that someday.
Well, and with Google Analytics, there are filters to take out some of that spammy backlink stuff. But I found a really great plugin that I'm still in the middle of testing. And I've got another month of test, at least another 2 to 3 weeks of test to run. It's GM Bot Blocker. I've had really good success with that on a few sites. I haven't run it on one with ads, and that's what I'm about to do to make sure that it doesn't block things there. But follow me, you know, people follow me on Tips Tuesday for this kind of serial update on, hey, this is what I'm testing, here's how it's working, and, you know, before I get to the point where I can say, yes, this is the thing to do. But these spammy backlinks coming from CMALT, and buttons for websites and things like that, that's the next big way into it, because we're doing such a great job of blocking them from the comments and blocking them other ways. They're finding sneaky ways in.
Yeah, and I've got some of those buttons that I have to go in and fix. I
mm-hmm.
have three of them, so that's on my to-do list too. You have really made me a good to-do list to keep me busy for a while, but I know it's going to be worth it in the long run, so I'm glad I have it.
Right, and that's part of it, is just having somebody with you to help make an order of things. If you know what to do and why, you're good. I had one client that we took her speed from 10-second load time to 3-second load time, and it took 10 minutes, and it was stuff she did herself. She just needed to know what to do. And that's a lot of what's going on with yours is, oh, there it all is. You know, there's
yes.
the plan. And knowing
yes.
what to do makes a lot of difference, doesn't it? And it's
yes.
stuff you can do yourself. You're perfectly capable. No geek skills required.
Correct.
Cool.
And to have somebody in the reason why I'm pushing you so much is because you talk to us in a way that we can understand, and not a lot of tech jargon that just makes your head spin. And we appreciate
yeah.
that.
I do too, because why do the mass in Latin? You know, no.
Yes, I agree.
If you don't understand, it's not actually useful to you, is it? You know, so making sure that you know and you're making educated choices, even about your plugins, that you're making educated choices about the one, not just because somebody said, wow, look at all these features.
Right.
That you're weighing out the ROI on performance and security as well, because it could cost you to have ads. Like you were saying, you're losing viewership for stuff.
Yes.
It cost you to have $3 hosting. Of course, you didn't at the time, but you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
Yeah, it cost you too much money to do that kind of thing. Tammy, we could go on for days.
I know.
There's a lot to talk about and a lot to know, but the main thing is your site is successful. And that's what it's all about at this point, is you know why it is, and you know that everything's good on the back side of it.
And I appreciate that so much.
I know you do, and I'm happy for you too, and I'm going to keep an eye on you here and look at these monthly things that you're doing, these monthly posts. And y'all, we've got, you know, for everybody listening, we've got links to all the things that we've talked about. I'm going to have full show notes in there that are time stamped for you, so you can get just to the sections that you want to hear in there too. So Tammy, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome, and I really appreciate you asking me to join in today.
Absolutely, and give us your website again to make sure that folks can find you.
It's mylifeabundant.com.
All right, thank you so much, and we'll see you online.
Thanks.